Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you enjoyed the weekend and you are now tuning in with anticipation as we again open the Word of God to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis and find our place at verse 13. As you find your place in Genesis 4, verse 13, I will remind you that on Friday we had our first look at this verse in which Cain speaks to the living God. God the judge has convicted Cain of murdering his brother Abel, and God the judge has sentenced Cain to be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Here in verse 13, Cain blurts out, "My punishment is too great to bear." We said this is a key verse in the Bible because it deals with the attitude that lies in the heart of every sinner. Sinners are most often more concerned with the punishment than they are with the sin itself. What bothers so many of us is when we get caught sinning. We are concerned with what kind of punishment we will face. We are not concerned with the fact that we have sinned against God and we have sinned against one another. When I read Cain say, "My punishment is too great to bear," I do not get the sense Cain is repenting of his sin. I get the sense, rather, that he is complaining about the punishment. He is fearful of what God's judicial sentence will mean for him. I think of verse 14, and I believe it confirms this. For just a moment, let me reread Genesis 4:14. I will deal with this verse later this week. Cain continues to say to the Lord, "Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." You see, it is the punishment that worries Cain, not the fact he has taken the life of his brother, a man who was made in the very image of God. Sinners are most often more concerned with the punishment than they are with the sin itself. We find this at the very beginning of Scripture, here in Genesis, and at the very end, in the Revelation. And on Friday, we ended the week in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 16. We read of the fourth and the fifth bowl judgments during the time of the still coming Great Tribulation. And we saw in the text the attitude of the ungodly sinners who refuse to repent of their sins and give glory to God, even when they will be so severely punished by the living God. This is really very incredible. In Revelation 16, verse 9, the men will be scorched with fierce heat. They will be set on fire. And yet, still, they blaspheme God and will not repent. In verse 10, they are in so much pain, they will gnaw on their tongues, and yet still, they will blaspheme God and not repent of their sins. The sinner is so exceedingly sinful that it is not the sin itself that bothers us and leads us to repentance, but rather only the punishment is our concern. The punishment. Being scorched with fierce heat and pain so severe, it results in gnawing at your own tongue. That is a problem, but not the sin of blaspheming and dishonoring God. That will still be okay at the coming bowl judgments in Revelation 16. This wretched attitude found within Cain is still around today and will be around until the Lord brings his final and concluding judgment. Today, as promised, I want to uncover this same attitude in a man who was very close to Jesus Christ. In fact, he was so close that everyone assumed this man was a true disciple of the Lord and one of the famous 12. His name is Judas Iscariot. And you will remember that he was the man who betrayed Jesus in a remarkably treacherous way. So come with me over to the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, and let me read to you what Judas did after his betrayal. I am reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. I will give you a moment to locate it in your Bible, Matthew chapter 27. I will begin in verse 1 to set the context. Hear now God's infallible word to you this Monday in Matthew 27. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed the Lord, saw that Jesus had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to that yourself." And Judas threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And Judas went away and hanged himself. Matthew 27, verses 1 through 5. In verse 3, the Bible says he, Judas, felt remorse. And it is a fair question to ask, does this mean Judas was sorry for his sin of betraying Jesus, such that Judas repented of his sin before God? The answer is no. If the remorse here was true, genuine repentance for his sin, then how come Judas did not seek out the Lord Jesus and ask Christ's forgiveness? Why do we not read of Judas Iscariot going to God in prayer and pleading for pardon from the evil which had sprung into action from his dark heart? We do not read of that because when the Bible says Judas felt remorse, it only means that Judas was more concerned about his punishment than he was the sin itself. And the proof of this is in the Greek language of the text of Matthew 27, verse 3. Interestingly, Matthew does not use the Greek word for repentance. The Greek word for repentance means a genuine change of mind. That's the word for true repentance from sin, wherever it's used. But that is not the word Matthew uses. Rather, the Greek word that he uses means only regret or sorrow. Judas does have regret for what he has done. He is sorrowful. We can even say he feels guilty. But he did not repent. Judas committed suicide without repenting of his sin, according to the Bible. And the reading is most clear in the Greek language text. Because, of course, as English speakers, as those who read English, we have to get it in the English. But when we go back to the original, we see what this word for remorse means. And we see, as we continue reading Matthew 27, that the regret and sorrow, the guilt Judas felt, led him into despair. In absolutely chilling words, Matthew 27, verse 5 says, Judas went away and hanged himself. As is always the case with suicide, this is a real tragedy. Suicide is always very sad. And here we have a man who had spent years side by side with Jesus and yet was not a true disciple of Christ. What could be more tragic than that? I believe we find within Judas the same attitude we have found in Cain. Both men sinned. Both men felt regret, sorrow, even guilt, but neither man repented of their sin. The regret, the sorrow, and the guilt came when they had to face the consequences of what they had done, their punishment. Their regret, sorrow, and guilt did not lead them to come crying out to God, seeking his forgiveness, grace, and mercy. What profound lessons are here for each one of us? Given the opportunity to confess his sin to God, Cain did not. Given an opportunity to confess his sin to Jesus, Judas did not. Judas did not even attempt to defend Jesus from the false charges brought against the Lord, nor did he make a rescue attempt to preserve the Lord's life. Instead, he went away and hanged himself. John Calvin writes this in his commentary on Genesis 4, verse 13, speaking of people like Cain and Judas who are never sorry for their sin until staring down the punishment. Calvin writes, quote, "And this indeed is true, that the reprobate are never conscious of their evils until a ruin from which they cannot escape overtakes them. Truly, when the sinner, obstinate to the last, mocks the patience of God, he feels a horrible torment for which there is no remedy, that blind and astonished dread of punishment, which is without any hatred of sin or any desire to return to God." Calvin adds, "Judas, overwhelmed with fear, flies as far as possible from the presence of God." This is so true. And if you are a man or a woman who has this same attitude within you that Cain had and Judas had and the wicked people in the great tribulation will have, if you have been more concerned with your punishment than you have been with your sin, I invite you today, before it is too late, to express genuine sorrow for your sin to God. And you can do that now through his son, Jesus Christ. I would welcome the opportunity to walk you through this. I am sure your Christian family and friends would as well. Reach out to us now and lift your head heavenward and pray a simple prayer from the heart, seeking Christ, and invite him to please forgive you. He will not turn you away. Join us tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.